Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, I think it's great that you can, you know, determine whether you're going to continue to play football, which is what we had the opportunity to do that today.
And finds Brown, slips out of the tackle, and he's racing down the sideline for a touchdown. You had it, Tony. A.J. Brown has scored a touchdown for the fourth game in a row. This one goes for 51 yards.
I would just say, like, you can't measure my heart. So when I get the ball, man, I'm really trying to score. And I'm not trying to be a receiver, catch the ball, go down. I'm trying to score touchdowns, nothing else.
Eight for the title, and he's going to break it on a big one. He's going to get the title by a mile as Henry takes it all the way for the touchdown.
You got two more, and that's it. And, you know, when he said that, had to make something happen.
Tannehill and the Titans have clinched the playoff berth.
It's exciting. You know, I'm proud of our guys. We battled all year. The way this guy ran is incredible. You know, over 1,500 yards is amazing. I've never seen anything like it personally. So, you know, so proud of our guys, Derek included, and we're just getting started. You know, big one coming up next week.
I haven't had a paycheck with a Patriots logo on it since 2008. So, again, it was no different than going and coaching against them with the Texans or coaching against them last year. It's a huge challenge to go up there and try to win. And how I get this football team prepared to go on the road and beat a team that's won a lot of playoff games up there.
And the boys are going to the playoffs. Let's go.
Oh, big hugs, tiny kisses, Nashville. That's right. Taylor Lewan there to wrap it all up. The puppies, the babies are going to the playoffs. The Tennessee Titans go down to Houston and handle their business. Welcome to the show, Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson hanging out on a Monday. We got New Year holiday coming up this week, the Winter Classic. Oh, don't worry about it. The Preds suck again. It's all good. College football playoff scheduled. That took place over the weekend. An absolute crushing in Atlanta, and then a fantastic football game between Clemson and Ohio State. But the Titans will play the New England Patriots in New England, 7:15 p.m. Central Time on Saturday evening in an NFL playoff game. Derek, the Titans with I have so many records and numbers and stats to give out that I don't want to overload people this morning, but the story is that this is a truly unprecedented offensive showcase over a 10-game stretch by a backup quarterback who takes over an offense that was 2-4 and leads them to the postseason. Derrick Henry is in the same exact boat. They did exactly what they were supposed to do yesterday. Houston didn't play their guys, so who cares about them? But they are in the playoffs and playing for the second time in 3 years on Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, this is what they, you know, this is what they set out to do. Is, you know, regardless of the record. Sorry, my son's calling me early in the morning.
What, does he not know you have a job?
No, my son's out of.
What is he doing up right now? He's a teenager.
Where they're at is 7. It's, oh, my goodness. It's like 6 o'clock. No, it's like 2 o'clock. 11 o'clock is where they're at.
They're
somewhere else.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I got
so
you.
It's 11 o'clock. But no, this is what they set out to do. And, you know, regardless of how they got there, they're there. You know, it started off bad at the beginning of the season. And then there were some changes that had to be made. They made the changes. And you never know during the season how a change affects a team. But you got to make it because you don't see, you know, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel with what's going on right now. They made the change, and lo and behold, you know, look at where they're at. Now, you know, the record indicates, you know, they're no better than what they were last year as far as record-wise, but I think they are a little bit better in regards to their offense. That is what got them over the hump that last half of the season is what their offense was able to do. And, you know, kudos to Ryan Tannehill for coming in and, you know, being a professional, sat behind Marcus, and when this opportunity came, he made the best of it. And just, you know, immersing himself in that offense and becoming a part of the team as quickly as he did. It's an attestment to, you know, him being a professional, him understanding that, hey, this is my last shot. So if I ever get an opportunity, I'm going to make the best of it. And then, hell, all of this is for because of one man. And that's Derrick
Arthur
Henry.
Arthur Smith. Oh, no.
No, that's Derrick Henry. This is one man. This is a one-man show. This train rolls and it stops with Derrick Henry. And if he continues to run like this, it's going to be hard for teams to beat them. So kudos to Derrick Henry to 1,500 yards. I think the last 1,500 yard rusher they had was
Chris Johnson.
Yeah, Chris Johnson when he had his 2,000 yard season.
Oh, I got all the stats for you, man.
So kudos to Derrick Henry because this guy is just he's a beast, man. People were wondering, you know, would he translate to the NFL? Did he get too many runs in Alabama? And it started off a little shaky as far as, you know, him figuring things out. It's not like he wasn't a good runner. He still was averaging over 4 yards a carry. But somehow, some way, he figured it out, man. And now he is the best runner. Again, he is the best runner in the National Football League, hands down.
Especially when that team gets a lead, he is virtually unstoppable.
Yes.
They scored 402 points this season, Tennessee Titans mm-hmm. did. That is the fifth highest in franchise history, if you include the Houston Oilers. The 61 Oilers, led by George Blanda, of course, who could forget, the all-time leading offense in Titan in this franchise history, over 500 points. But since becoming the Tennessee Titans, your team, Derek, in 2003, the year Mack won the co-MVP, 435 points on offense. This was the second-best Tennessee Titans offensive showcase for a season in the history of the Titans portion of the organization. 402 points is second only to the 03 team that you played on that scored 435 points. So this was the second-best offense in Titans history. Derrick Henry, his 1,540 yards not only leads the NFL in rushing, and he claims a rushing title, which was a really fun way to finish up the season and watch the fourth quarter last night. In a game that didn't really matter, there was something you were paying attention to, which was really cool, and he passes Nick Chubb on the long touchdown run. His 1,540 yards are fourth all-time in franchise history behind Chris Johnson and Earl Campbell. He passes Eddie George. Mm-hmm. His 18 total touchdowns, 16 rushing touchdowns, are good for second all-time, both of those categories. So it is a better singular season than anything Eddie George ever did. It's a better singular season than anybody outside of basically Chris Johnson or Earl Campbell has ever accomplished. And so I think to your point about Derrick Henry, we'll get to Ryan Tannehill, we'll get to A.J. Brown. Those guys deserve a ton of credit. The offensive line as a rushing unit is very, very good now. Still has some questions in the pass pro, but I don't care about the 9-7 thing. The 9-7 thing, you know, in the offseason, we can talk about it, and we can debate how they get to the next level, and certainly going into New England and winning a playoff game is a way you get to the next level. But to me, the story, as we wrap up the season, not only Derrick Henry is the lead, but that this offense made it I don't think people are truly grasping how otherworldly this offense is. Statistically, the improbability of this offense doing what it did six games into the season at 2-4 to become what it has become right now. It is a statistical anomaly in the NFL for them to go from 16 points a game to 31. For Ryan Tannehill, who has never won eight games in a season and never played in the playoffs and never started a playoff game and has had one winning record his entire career, for him to set otherworldly records in every single category is truly unbelievable. We talked all the time about what people were predicting, and many people thought Ryan Tannehill should start, and that's fine. No one thought he was going to lead the NFL in yards per attempt, completion percentage, and do something that hasn't been done in the NFL since Joe Montana, which is complete 70% of your passes and lead the NFL in yards per attempt. The last person to do that was Joe Montana. Ryan Tannehill is doing Joe Montana things. Mm-hmm. That is the level with which this offense was operating over this 10-game stretch, and it's unprecedented. I don't think I've ever seen it in the NFL or with this organization.
No, you haven't. And again, they put it all together, regardless of how they did it, who they played, what the record is. Now everyone is You know, the season starts over again, and everyone has the same record, and they get an opportunity to, you know, go 1-0 in the playoffs and continue to move forward. You know, could take your hat off to Arthur Smith. He's done a good job at, you know, putting guys in positions to make plays, and that's the offensive coordinator's job. I've always said that is to you if you have talent, you got to put that talent in a position to succeed. Allow them to do the things they do best. Don't put them in uncomfortable positions, especially young guys. And that's what, you know, that's what that offense did. That's what Arthur Smith did. That's what, you know, Mike Vrabel did. That's what they did. They put these offensive guys in positions to make plays. And, you know, it all started again. It all started with Derrick Henry and you know, kudos to the offensive line. They still got to clean some things up in the pass pro. But from a blocking standpoint, I mean, there hasn't been, you know, it hadn't always been pretty, but there hasn't been a better run blocking offense the last half of the season than the Tennessee Titans. So kudos to the offensive line. And, you know, let this thing keep going, man. But, you know, Taylor, don't say nothing. Just put your head down.
We'll get to Taylor.
Don't say nothing. Just put your head down, man, and go play football. None of that other stuff.
We'll get to Taylor.
Because you guys are doing a great job right now blocking.
Big hugs, tiny kisses, Derek. Big hugs, tiny kisses.
Hey, man.
The puppies, the babies, the boys are going to the playoffs.
So all this stuff is back now. Nah, you got to put it up, man.
Well, listen,
you can bring it out if you go to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, you can bring all that stuff out.
They got a chance, the playoff game, Titans at the Patriots, 7:15 p.m. Central Time on Saturday evening, coming up this weekend as the Titans make the playoffs. They beat the Texans yesterday in Houston. Houston didn't play anybody, so I don't think you can learn anything about anyone. You know, if you want to talk rushing defense or passing offense or whatever, I don't think you can take anything away from that game specifically. A whole lot of offensive records have been set or broken or challenged by the Tennessee Titans. I'll get to all of those when we come back, including one that's probably near and dear to Derek Mason's heart that he doesn't. It's so near and dear to his heart that he doesn't even know it, probably. Mm-hmm. So there's one record that Derek Mason was involved in yesterday that got broken. And so we'll get to all of that. But I think the final point here, wrapping up this first conversation about this team, they are 9-7, which I know people are going to have a fun time with in the offseason. But that's a winning record. And they are only four franchises in the NFL that have posted winning records in four consecutive seasons. That's the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Chiefs, and the Titans. Four teams. And John Robinson has been in charge of all four of those teams. Mike Vrabel had to make the tough decision, well, easy decision, to switch to Ryan Tannehill midway through the season. So John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have a chance to sit back, kick their heels up at least for a day, and enjoy the fact that this team is a winning franchise for the fourth consecutive year. Only four teams in the NFL can claim that, and the Titans are one of them, and they're going back to the playoffs. That is the most important piece. Now, what offensive records got set? Which one's your favorite? Pick a record, any record, and Derek Mason was involved in one of them. We'll explain when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Tannehill, 3rd and 5. Bounces away from the pocket and finds Brown. Slips out of the tackle, and he's racing down the sideline for a touchdown. You had it, Tony. A.J. Brown has scored a touchdown for the fourth game in a row. This one goes for 51 yards.
I think each and every week, what we're asking him to do continues to, you know, go up. You know, the volume continues to go up, and with that becomes there's a certain responsibility that you have to be able to handle that volume and be where you need to be and execute. I think, you know, I think everybody would imagine Ryan has a lot of confidence in AJ. You know, I thought he was going to come back for the football and maybe try to create some contact with the guy face guarding. I didn't necessarily think he was going to be able to catch it and stay in bounds, but he's a fun player to coach. He's a huge part of our organization and excited to be able to work with him every day.
Oh, have the Tennessee Titans found a number one wide receiver? A.J. Brown yesterday, 4 catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown. Welcome back, Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, just Munson for short, spinning the hits back there. And the Titans go down to Houston and beat a Texans team that really didn't play any of their best players, didn't have anything to play for at the time, and they handle their business. Now, here's the question. I got like 30 records here. I don't want to pour too many records into people's minds. But essentially, we can pick all kinds of records here. Again, I mentioned how good Derrick Henry was. It's the first time, by the way, since 2002 that a Heisman Trophy winner has led the NFL in rushing. How about that? That was Ricky Williams back in 2002. It's the last time a Tennessee Titan, of course, has led the NFL in rushing since Chris Johnson. A.J. Brown had four touchdowns, because yesterday he had a 51-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. Four touchdown passes, touchdown receptions, excuse me, of 50 yards or more. That's the most out of a rookie since Randy Moss in 1998. Again, I mentioned Ryan Tannehill, the first quarterback to complete 70% of his passes and lead the NFL in yards per attempt or go over 9.0 yards per attempt since Joe Montana. We can go down and down, on and on and on down the list. The number of Tennessee Titan receivers who have gone over 1,000 yards is a very, very short list. It's basically Derek Mason, Derek Mason, Derek Mason, Derek Mason. That's four for Derek Mason. One for Drew Bennett, one for Delanie Walker, one for Kendall Wright, one for Nate Washington. So five players in the history of the organization, Titans side of this. I know you like to separate the Oilers and the Titans, so I try to do that as well. A.J. Brown with 1,051 yards is actually the seventh best receiving season ever by a Tennessee Titan receiver. And I listen, again, what record do you want me to stop at here, Derek? Because A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, the level with which they produced is largely unprecedented for both this offense and this organization. Where do you want, I've got one that's going to pertain to you, but just I want to save that one for just a second. Is there any of them that are more impressive than the next, or are they all just awesome together?
I think they're all just awesome. I think what's really impressive is what Ryan Tannehill was able to do. Him coming in, you know, at short notice, I don't think he had an off season with this team. A full offseason with this team, if I can recall. This was a deal that was made later in the year. He didn't have a true offseason with this team that he would have loved to have, I believe. But him, you know, coming in as the backup and just learning his offense, I think what he was able to do is the most impressive. Because he was able to get this offense along with, you know, mainly because of Derrick Henry, but putting Derrick Henry aside, he was able to put this passing offense and help it kick it into gear. So much so that they were averaging, you know, over 30 points a game once he became quarterback. That part, because that's hard to do. And it's hard to maintain in the NFL. And you just hope this continues next season. But that's hard to maintain in the NFL, to score that many points so many weeks in a row with the backup quarterback that really doesn't know the offense the way that the starter knows it. And you're dealing with the rookie receiver, a rookie offensive lineman that's in there, and you're piecing things together. And he came out and, you know, and did the things that they have asked him to do. And he's done it at a high clip. So that's, to me, that's the most, that's the impressive part, that he was able to come in.
His level of efficiency is just astonishing.
And it hasn't been, you know, the Tom Brady, you know, and believe me, he's not better than Tom Brady. That's not what I'm saying, people. He's no way near Tom Brady. But it's not the Tom Brady.
I'd be playing better football
five,
than Tom Brady right
seven,
now.
You know, 6 yard hits and then, you know, guys moving the ball, you know, methodically down the field. No, these are big chunks. He's efficient with big chunk plays, you know, 15 yard plays. He's efficient. He's 70% throwing, you know, the ball down, you know, majority down the field, averaging almost 10 yards per pass.
And I say all these things not to knock his previous career, but to sort of put in perspective how good this season was for him. His previous career high in completion percentage was 67%. He was 66% in 2014. He was a 63% passer. For his career, he was a 63% passer. That includes the 70.3 he put up this year, which I believe was third in the NFL behind Derek Carr and Drew Brees. His 9.6 yards per attempt. His career average, 7.2. His highest ever, 7.7. He went for 9.6 this year, which led the NFL. Mm-hmm. Again, unprecedented. His highest quarterback rating of all time in his career, 92.7. He is a career 89.8 quarterback rating, below 90. And he put up 117.5 to leave the NFL last year, this year. And he led the NFL in passer rating. He led the NFL in yards per attempt this year. It is not to knock his previous career. It is to put into perspective how astronomically good he was this year relative to his performance in the past and even some Tennessee Titan performance. By the way, 70, all these numbers are Tennessee Titans single-season records.
Yes.
All of these records, all these numbers, by the way, not only lead the NFL, but are setting franchise records for to the Tennessee Titans. You got to go back to the old 61 Oilers and George Blanda. Old George Blanda to get above 9 yards per attempt. Now, by the way, you really want to have some fun with some numbers. Go back and look at George Blanda's season. Threw for like 3,300 yards, like 30-plus touchdowns, 22 interceptions.
Oh.
Like 51% completion percentage. Basically in 1960.
So basically he was Jameis Winston.
Basically George Blanda in 1961 threw the ball up in the air deep down the field.
Yeah.
And half the time the Oilers caught it, and 50-50. Half the time they didn't.
50-50 deep passes, that's all you want.
And that was the previous record for yards per attempt, 9.1 yards in 1961. And Ryan Tannehill obliterated that by half a yard this year. So, again, I agree that Tannehill and Henry are sort of the driving force behind this. A.J. Brown, the first rookie 1,000-yard receiver for this organization since Ernest Givens in 1986. Again, I got more records for you here. All right, here's the one that involves you.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're – I want to know – I don't think you're going to know this because I had to dig pretty deep to find this one.
If you had to dig deep, then no, I don't know.
Do you know how many total touchdowns you scored in a Tennessee Titans uniform? Like your whole career as a Titan?
30 something, I don't
pretty
know.
Pretty close. 40 touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
40 touchdowns, which was third all time by a Tennessee Titan.
Mm-hmm.
You can guess who was ahead of you.
Yeah.
Eddie George and Chris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They were ahead of you. You were third all time. No longer, my friend.
It's
no
Derrick
longer.
Henry.
No longer. Derrick Henry needed 3 touchdowns to pass Derek Mason for third all-time in career touchdowns scored by a Tennessee Titan, and you are now fourth, my friend. How does that feel? Derrick Henry now has 41 touchdowns.
It felt like it did yesterday. I didn't know. And I'm going to soon forget it. If you ask me this question again next year, I'm going to be like, I don't know.
Now, technically, in Oilers Titans history, again, you were ninth all-time. But when we just talk Titans here, again, most people in this city – there's some that care about Houston, but mostly this is about the Titans. And Eddie, Chris Johnson, Derek Mason were the top 3 touchdown scorers in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
And Derrick Henry passed you yesterday. And again, another remarkable bullet point on a remarkable season where a bunch of these dudes are just setting records across the board. This is the best offense since you guys played with all those weapons that you guys had. And even then, from an efficiency standpoint, it might even be better. So what a remarkable season by these guys.
Yeah, it does remind me of, you know, the Heimerdinger 03 team. That's when Steve was co-MVP, I believe, where, you know, Eddie had he had over 1,000 yards rushing. I had over 1,000 yards receiving, and Steve.
You set the Titans receiving record with that season, 1,303 yards.
Steve was, you know, on his way to winning co-MVP. So we had sort of this three-headed monster, but then we had, I believe it was Kevin Dyson. I think it was Kevin that was playing on the side of me at the time. Either Kevin or Justin McCarron, one of the two, but they had, you know, 800 yards. So we had a second and a third option on our team as well in the passing game. But we had this three-headed monster where, you know, Eddie ran the football and, you know, but our offense was a little bit different from this one. But we still ran Eddie and we still did a lot of things in the passing game, but it was all predicated off of, you know, what we were doing running about football. And then our offensive line was, they were one of the best in the National Football League. You know, led by B-Hop, and I think Bruce was on that team, if I recall, and Benji and Zach and those guys. And this team, this offense just reminds me so much of that offense. That
it's like a modern version of
it's just, you know, you have your receiver, you have your running back, you have your tight end, And everyone is on the same page. The offensive coordinator is doing the things necessary to put guys in position. And these guys just have confidence, man. You could just see the confidence in A.J. Brown when he catches the ball. You see the confidence when Ryan Tannehill delivers the football. It's like when he delivers it, he's expecting a reception. He's expecting a completion. He's expecting these guys to catch balls. Even Corey Davis looked good yesterday. I wish he could have got his foot in on that 5-yard catch. He got the first down, but I wish he was able to keep his foot in and get a touchdown. I forgot who it was. Number 12 or what was his name?
Davis.
Pruitt had a touchdown catch. Rashad Davis. I mean, he made a big catch. Mm-hmm.
Got
lit up. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is just delivering the ball with so much confidence. And these guys, mainly A.J. Brown, it's just, there's guys that you see out there playing that are rookie guys that still you can see they're doing good, but you still see they're still trying to figure it out, and you see it here and there. I don't see that much with him. I just see a guy it's like
the ball's his.
It's like
when it's in the air.
This is what the late, great Mike Hammerdinger told me. He said, Derek, just go out there. I know how I draw it up. I understand that. But just go be a football player, man. Just go play football. You and Matt, just play football. And it seems that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown are just playing football. That touchdown play, that was really a broken play, an extended play.
And a garbage tackle.
That was just like, seriously, like, Roby, seriously, what were you trying to do?
I don't want to try to take anything away from Brown because it was a great play, but that guy didn't even,
one of those plays, if I am a head coach, I'm pulling a guy out.
He didn't even try.
I'm pulling a guy out because even though we don't have to win this game,
You have to
give effort. And that was I don't think he probably would have slowed A.J. Brown down enough to get, another tackler in. But you didn't even try.
Yeah,
that was like Munson trying to tackle A.J. Brown.
Oh, I think Munson would have done a better job.
Nope.
Than what Bradley Roby did on that play? Yeah, I think Munson would have.
Don't discredit the kid now.
He may have shed you like a small bug, but you would have at least tried to wrap him up. And Bradley Roby just
He would have drugged me just a few yards. That's about it. But
hey, just hold on until somebody else come. That's all you got to do.
You'd be like Jeff Van Gundy. Just grab the ankle.
My hands would have been on the Nikes for sure, though.
That sounds like we're taking something away from A.J. Brown.
No, it's not taking away from A.J. Brown.
But to your point, it's just... go out there and make a play, man. Just go out there and run around and make plays. And he's got so much confidence. So it does set up a meeting with New England and the Patriots on Saturday evening. However, as the day unfolded, I don't know if people are excited or angry about what took place yesterday because there was a lot of shuffling with the seeding in the AFC as the Patriots lose to the Dolphins and drop out of the bye. Kansas City beats the Chargers. Is that a good thing for the Tennessee Titans? I think you could argue that it is, and I did so on Twitter yesterday, and I think people agreed with me. We will discuss, do you want to play the Chiefs on the road this weekend, or do you want to play the Patriots? We will discuss what could have been right here. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game on Monday, December 30th. That's today, right? For the 2019 Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. Listen in as Louisville takes on Mississippi State. Coverage of the game is sponsored by High Five Eyes, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, and Holly Garenzen, your local GEICO agent. Tickets are available to purchase on Ticketmaster.com. I think Stillman and Floyd had to do play-by-play for like a quarter one time. Mm-hmm. Like a couple of weeks. I'd love to hear Marquise. I don't think it was around when this happened, but like I think it was the Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago in the Music City Bowl where they had, the broadcast team, there was some problems or something. I can't remember. And, like, Floyd and Jared had to do play-by-play for a little while. It was actually quite entertaining.
I'm sure it was.
So that bowl game's coming up
last
today.
Last minute.
Yes, it was, especially when you haven't prepared to do a play-by-play. It's very difficult. They did a good job. And bowl games, obviously, you got the national championship game set with Clemson and LSU after Saturday's college football semifinals. And the Preds lose back-to-back games to the Pittsburgh Penguins on Friday and Saturday night. So not a good weekend for Predators fans as they fall back to 11th place in the standings in the Western Conference. However, the Titans are playing New England after beating the Texans yesterday on Saturday evening, 7:15 Central Time will be the kickoff. The Bills-Texans game will be the early game on Saturday, with the very bizarre ending to the Seattle Seahawks and the 49ers matchup. The Sunday games, of course, will be Seattle at Philadelphia, Minnesota at New Orleans. But it does, as the day was unfolding yesterday, the noon window, you had the Chiefs, Chargers, and the Patriots, Dolphins playing. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs had the tiebreaker over the Patriots. So if the Patriots were going to lose, the Chiefs were going to move up to the 2 seed, and that, of course, was going to affect the Titans' draw. And as the day was unfolding, the Dolphins score on a defensive touchdown, a pick six off Brady, and they take the lead. And I'm looking at sort of like the current standings unfolding, the Chiefs' defense playing better, Mahomes is lighting people up, they're getting healthy on offense. I'm sitting there going, you know what? I think it might be better, if I'm a Titans fan, to be rooting for the Dolphins and Chiefs so that you play the Patriots in the first round. I don't think, and I immediately got response mm-hmm. from fans on Twitter, of course, oh, we own the Chiefs. They can't beat us. We went there in the playoffs and won. We beat them a couple weeks ago here and won. That's all true. I would rather play the Patriots. I would rather play that offense, the way the Patriots offense has been performing the last month and a half, which has not been good. Mm-hmm. Good defensive team, very good defensive team. But I think that matchup is better for this particular Titans team as it is built right now, which is offense is great, defense is struggling, than it would be to go up against the Chiefs team that you know is going to light you up for points. I think it actually worked out that you're playing New England. And if you're going to get the Patriots, you might as well get them this year, because it's the first time they're playing in the first weekend of the playoffs in quite some time.
Yeah, they are. But, I mean, if you look at if you look at both teams, Kansas City and New England, both of them are ranked in the top 10 in total offense and points allowed and points scored. You know, the New England Patriots are the number one defense in regards to points against.
Very good.
And Kansas City, I believe, is like 8th, somewhere around there. They're only giving up 19 points a game.
I bet you people are surprised by that.
Yeah, I know. And that's why, you know, when people say, oh, we beat them, well, that was Mahomes' first game back.
And he threw for 430 yards. You're going to beat him again?
The defense was beat up. This is a different defense now.
You think they're going to make...
And this is a much better offense now. I believe, even though it didn't bear out at times, but you would have to play them in Arrowhead. When you look at New England is still averaging close to 30 points a game. They're averaging 26 points a game, you know, but they're not giving up many points. This offense doesn't look like it used to look. I think there are some things you can do against this offense that you couldn't do in previous years. They're still going to run the ball effectively, you know, as they always have been able to do later in the year. But their passing game is what's been sort of their Achilles heel. They're still averaging, you know,
a linebacker caught a touchdown yesterday.
They're still averaging 250.
They threw a touchdown to a linebacker.
Yeah, they're trying to. But, you know, 2-3 years ago, even last year, they didn't have to. They had their trick plays, New England did. But for the most part, New England could line up in 3-4 wides and just methodically a whole, you know, it's like a, you know, death by a million cuts. It's just, and then they get to, and by the time you look at it 15 plays later, they're on a 1 yard line and Tom Brady is sneaking it in. Well, now they're not able to do that. A part of it is because they don't have Gronk. Another part of it is Edelman is not going to beat you without a Gronk or without another guy on the outside. Last year they had, you know, they had guys on the outside that were helping, that could help Edelman in the inside. They had Gronk along with Edelman. Right now, N'Keal Harry, he's going to be a good receiver, but he scares nobody.
Yeah.
You know, the kid they got from Atlanta, he's still getting used to the offense.
It hasn't produced a whole lot.
Yeah, exactly. So this offense isn't what it used to be. The offensive line is not as good as it used to be.
It is Tom Brady's worst completion percentage since 2013. It is his mm-hmm. worst touchdown total, 24 touchdowns, since 2006. It is the lowest yards per attempt, 6.6 yards per attempt, since 2002. This is not his quarterback rating, 88. It's the lowest since 2013. This is one of the, and it's because Gronk is gone, and of course Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown were supposed to be part of the solution for the Patriots. They're not. You now have got N'Keal Harry, James White, and linebackers catching passes, mm-hmm. along with Julian Edelman. It's not, again, the reason I like the matchup with New England over Kansas City is about the style of the game. The style of the game against Kansas City, you are asking your defense to get stops, and you're asking your offense to score with Patrick Mahomes. They did that a couple of weeks ago at Nissan Stadium. They held the Chiefs to 6 field goal attempts and blocked one and won the game, and Tannehill played a perfect game. I think you're asking your team to do a lot, whereas against the Patriots, while of course it's going to be difficult against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and all these other things, that the style of that game is going to probably be more low scoring. Your defense has a better chance of playing well against this particular Patriots offense than it does against this Chiefs offense. And your offense is now your strength, and Derrick Henry, and if you can score 24, 26 points against the Patriots, you probably can win the game. I think you're going to have to score 35 or 40 to beat the Chiefs. So to me, I actually like the draw. I have no idea what's going to happen Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
But I actually would rather play this Patriots team than the Chiefs team. And I think that tiny little thing worked out, because otherwise they'd be going to Kansas City. And I think you'd be asking Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown to score 38, 40, 42 points to win that game.
And listen, they were able, you know, some things happened in the first game and they were able to do it. But they had to have, you know, they had to have this extra thing happen in order for them to beat the Chiefs. And then you look at New England. Don't you know close to 50% of his total passing yards goes to two guys?
Yeah.
Edelman and James White.
Yeah.
Edelman has 1,100 yards. James White has 646. So almost half of his passing total goes to two guys. Between those two guys, there's 172 catches. No one else on that team has over 30 catches. Matter of fact, no one else on that team has over 29 catches.
Again, they threw a touchdown yesterday to a linebacker. I'm just pointing it out.
This is a team that is in this, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'm sure New England fans here in Nashville are saying yeah, but you got to come to New England, and it's hard to win New England.
You are absolutely right.
But this is, if I'm going to play New England any year, it's going to be this year.
That's 100%.
Because, you know, even though, you know, I love Sony Michel, but he's only averaging just under 4 yards a carry. He averaging 3.7 yards a carry. He's not a huge touchdown guy within his offense, at least rushing the football. I can live with them. I can do things to try to take out a Edelman or whatnot. This offense just doesn't scare me. It doesn't. If you're going to play the New England Patriots any year, it's this year.
Because
they have nobody other than Julian Edelman. And tell you the truth, he's not going to scare a team into saying, you know what, we really got to. They would let him catch, you know, 5 yarders and 8 yarders and try to move the ball down the field. That's what everyone's been doing. And they can't do it. New England can't do it. They haven't been able to do it the second half of the year. They lose to the Miami Dolphins, even though Miami always played them tough.
That was in New England, too.
Yes. But they're losing to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah,
they're losing to teams that in ways that they haven't lost before.
Yep. Listen, it's the Patriots. It's Gillette Stadium. It's Bill Belichick. It's Tom Brady. It's going to be a ridiculously difficult task. Mm-hmm. It's just probably the easiest it's been for a long time to try to play the Patriots in that role. Also, I don't know if you guys notice this or not, but there are a few ties to the New England Patriots on this Titans organization. Mm-hmm. The general manager, the head coach, running backs, corners, they all played for New England, coached for New England, worked for New England, whatever it may have been, and now they've got some personal, there's a personal attachment to this game for a lot of these guys in Titans uniforms.
And what's crazy about this Patriots offense is they at one point had Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. At one point.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Like, that was their plan this year, was all those guys.
And then also they had a first-round pick at wide receiver, and he didn't pan out.
Yeah, he caught a couple touchdowns. He's going to be a good player, but he's had some issues. But, again, you took Gronk, Gordon, and Brown off this roster, all within a two- or three-game span, right? Like, Gronk in the offseason, and then in the first couple of games, you lose Brown and you lose Gordon, and that's it. And that was the end of it. And so the offense hasn't been the same ever since then. So it'll be fascinating to watch. There was other things that took place this weekend in the world of sports, and that is the national championship in the college football world has been set. A couple of Tigers going at it in 2 weeks on a Monday night. We'll discuss what we saw on Saturday in the college football world when we come back right here, Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Titans win, and we'll play the Patriots Saturday evening in a wild card showdown of the New England Patriots and a bunch of former New England Patriots as the Tennessee Titans go up there, 7:15 start time. Preds fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins on Friday evening at home in pretty ugly fashion, and then fall behind in the first period again to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I believe they gave up 3 goals in the first 10 minutes of that game. Fought their way back in the second period and a controversial goal at the end of that game. But either way, you lose two more times, and now you're back down to 11th place in the Western Conference. So we got plenty of time this week to discuss that as the Winter Classic coming up, of course, on Wednesday. And you can join 102.5 The Game at our official Winter Classic watch party at Tin Roof on Broadway Wednesday, January 1st, to cheer on the Nashville Predators as they take on the Dallas Stars in the Winter Classic. Puck drop at 1 p.m. Enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game, plus other great prizes. The national championship is set. It is Clemson and LSU, just like I told you it was going to be a long time ago when the tournament came out. What word should we use to describe Joe Burrow's performance on Saturday evening? LSU wins like 6,000 to like nothing against Oklahoma. I think the final was 63-21, I think. And
that was a joke of a game.
Eight touchdowns from Joe Burrow. He set every single passing and yardage and scoring offensive record.
He set every football record.
For a playoff game. He set every SEC bowl record ever put together. I mean, he is now obliterating the SEC record book. Mm-hmm. He's now approaching, national college football records. He, I believe, has 59 total touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's 14-0. I told you guys this is going to be approaching the greatest single season by a quarterback of all time. He's one win away.
No.
He's one win away. If he does this, it'll be the greatest. If he wins the national championship, it will be the greatest single season by a quarterback in college football history. So I don't know what words there are to describe
it. You know what this game reminds me of? You remember playing like NCAA football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in the second week, you have the FCS, the football Southeast team. It's just like they have no names on jerseys.
Florida A&M Rattlers.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what Joe Burrow did. Yeah. And he played him on easy mode, pretty much.
It's insane. What he did was short of remarkable. He looked like the number one pick in the draft. He looked like, the best player on the field. He looked like the best player in college. He looked like the Heisman Trophy winner. He walked into that game and just continued to stat, pile stat upon stat upon stat. And it was amazing. After the game, they interviewed, I forget, the defensive end kid, 18.
Chaisson.
Yeah, Chaisson. And Chaisson said, look, we love him so much because, he's one of us. He doesn't walk around like he's broken all these records or, putting up all these points or the Heisman Trophy winner. He's oblivious to it, so to speak. He walks around and he just wants to get better. He wants the team to get better, and we appreciate it, and we love that about him.
Well, and now he's got a chance to win a national championship in the city of New Orleans, in the state of Louisiana, for Ed Orgeron, which is, and of course the terrible tragedy of the plane crash.
That was just awful,
where,
man.
Steve Ensminger, the offensive coordinator for LSU, is calling the game after losing his daughter-in-law. Just a terrible, terrible
wife?
Story. It was his son's wife. His daughter-in-law. And it's just a terrible tragedy. And, having to call a game like that, again, the human element side of that is just, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you function. You keep your brain together. I guess you got to do it. And so it's a remarkable story. So LSU wins easily. The controversial one, and the far more entertaining football game, as expected, Clemson-Ohio State. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. That was outstanding. That was a great football game. I know Ohio State fans are all crying in their milk right now about one bad call, but uh-huh. I'm sorry. You had a million chances to win that game. You got inside Clemson's 30-yard line six or seven times, and you came away with field goals, and you turned the ball over. You only scored two touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence got the ball with 3 minutes to go, down by two, on his own six-yard line, mm-hmm. and went 94 yards in four plays. He had over 100 yards rushing. He showed you why he's one of the best players in college football, if not the best prospect in college football. And Clemson is – think about this. Clemson is 29-0. Mm-hmm. They're the defending national champs. They've won two out of the last three national titles, and they have Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback, and they're the underdog.
Why not?
It's just the way Clemson likes it, man. It's just the way Dabo likes it.
I understand why they're an underdog.
Oh, I
because
yeah, sure.
LSU has
sure.
proven against better competition that they are just superior over every team out there, other than possibly because they hadn't played, but the teams that we've seen play, you know, LSU is better than every team in the country right now. Their defense has picked up their game. They are healthier on defense.
Yep.
The defensive front is getting better. It's hard to run the football against that unit. Now, granted, Oklahoma didn't have their number one runner, but still, they made it very difficult for Oklahoma to run the ball, throw the ball.
Oklahoma is irrelevant.
Yeah, but
in this conversation.
But I think what LSU, it's going to be interesting to watch this matchup, because I don't know if LSU, I mean Clemson, and even in their battles with Alabama, I don't think they faced an offense like this.
I mean, last year against
like
Tua,
pretty good. That offense is not, man. That offense is not better than this offense this year. And they had some studs at receiver and still have them. But the way this offense operates, they got two backs. We saw the other back this past weekend.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't even really play.
Exactly. And we saw the other back that was just, he was running like a bulldozer. This offense is like no other offense I've seen in years. It just is.
It might be the best offense I've ever seen.
The quarterback is just... He has so much command. Like, he has so much command over everything.
Yep.
I thought Tua had command last year, the year before. Well, last year.
Both of them.
This guy has, it's just like, he knows what everybody's doing. Like, he dissects everything. He knows what you're doing. It's kind of like this, it's like this Tom Brady, this Drew Brees, you know, where this Peyton Manning, where he knows what you're doing as a defense, and he's going to find the open guy. And if he does, he's going to find the matchup that he wants. He's going to find it.
Yep.
And this past weekend, he found it. And I don't think Clemson got enough studs, man, across the field. Not Clemson has studs on defense.
Yeah.
Clemson has some studs, but they ain't got enough.
Yeah.
They don't have enough for this offense.
I also don't understand Ohio State fans screaming about conspiracy theories. And you know, like, I get, yes, the pass that was dropped and was a fumble and was called back. Listen, it looked like a completed pass to me. I thought it's forward progress.
It was a fumble. I don't know why they didn't catch it.
Yeah,
I don't want to call that.
So I don't know. You could complain about that. But again, you had the lead.
Yeah.
Justin Fields had the ball in the red zone in the final drive. You had the lead with Clemson inside their own 10. I mean, you had a million chances to win the game, and you didn't. And the targeting call was the right call, so you can't complain about that one. I just don't know why. Listen, Clemson was the slightly better team. They won the game, and they made the plays when they had to, and you lost. And so I'm not really sure why Ohio State fans are so up in arms. Again, you could argue forward progress had stopped on the reception. So there's a lot of things that went – that one call is – you can complain about it, but, like, that's not the reason you lost the game.
I don't think – honestly, I don't think Clemson was the better team. I think Ohio State was the better team.
But they made a lot
Ohio
of mistakes.
Yeah, Ohio State made the most mistakes.
Well, you know who doesn't make mistakes?
Yeah.
Better teams.
They made the most mistakes. They have young receivers running routes. That last play he threw, that's a touchdown. If the receiver doesn't run the other way, that's a touchdown, and that game is won.
Chris Olave did a really – I really appreciate him. He was the receiver.
He said, I broke it off. I thought he was scrambling.
He took full responsibility for that route and then stepped there at his locker and answered every question. So, you know, good credit to him for a young man taking
that's
responsibility.
Tough to do. That is tough to do.
Very, especially in that situation. Ohio State, listen, they could have won the game.
Yeah.
They had every opportunity to win the game. I don't think one bad call or questionable call or whatever, and again, the targeting call changed the game, no question, but it was the right call, so you can't complain about that. So we'll discuss the conspiracy theories tomorrow, because I've got a bone to pick with conspiracy theory people about Ohio State and how just illogical it is. We'll get to that tomorrow. So the national championship is set in college football. Preds fall twice to the Penguins, and of course the Titans beat the Texans and are playing the New England Patriots in the wild card round for the second time in 3 years. They'll make a trip to Gillette Stadium and play the Patriots. That coming up, of course, on Saturday, 7:15 Central Time start right there for the Titans and the Patriots. Corey Curtis, News 2 when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.